Welcome aboard the Story Ark. I'm your captain, Kenny Mears, and let's take a voyage together. What happens after we die? Do we continue on in some new world or state of being? Or do we simply cease to exist? These are some of the most important and fundamental questions we face as human beings, and there are many different answers out there. Today's story is brought to us by friend of the show, Elizabeth Gibson, who you may recognize from her Appalachian spook story, Talipo. Her story today seeks to give us a moment of pause to consider. Can someone really send a message from the other side of life? Here's Elizabeth.
This next supernatural tale is actually a family history story. And it's pretty self-explanatory, but it's another Southern one coming from our home state. The cat and the camellias. Does love survive death? Can love be powerful enough to punch a hole in the veil that separates the living from the dead in order to bring a message of hope and love to those left behind? You be the judge. Two sisters sit across from one another in a dimly lit farmhouse kitchen. The night is hot and humid, so the door to the outside stands open. And a screen door stands as the only protection between the insect travelers in the night drawn to the light bulb overhead and the occupants of the house. A breeze wafts through the door, and on it is the pulsing sound of the chirping crickets and harumphing the bullfrogs that fill the night air. And out in that black darkness, the winking light of lightning bugs pierces with their brilliant lights. It's midsummer in North Carolina. Jess Mahazel and Peggy Ann, 2 years apart in age, were born and raised on a tobacco farm in north central North Carolina, growing up in the Depression. In adulthood, Jessma went west to seek her fortune, while Peggy Ann remained and married and settled down near the old farmhouse. The thousands of miles that then separated them only served to bring their hearts closer together. And now on a rare visit home for Jessma, the two are spending the evening packing in years' worth of conversation in just this one night. They speak of husbands and their careers, children, places they've been, people that they've met. But as the hours of the evening begin to grow later, the conversation starts to take a more serious turn towards the intangibles of life, Jessma's growing homesickness for the old place, Peggy Ann's concerns over her worsening emphysema. They even discuss the old tales from their youth that came from the conjure woman that lived down the road from the farmhouse and her old haint stories, her ghost tales. Something is bothering Peggy Ann. She turns to Jessma and says, "Jessma, I wish so deeply that when a loved one passes, they could send a sign to those of us left behind, something more tangible, so that we know that they're all right and they still are watching over us and love us. Yeah, the Bible is a definite comfort to me, but I wish we could have something tangible. I think that whoever goes first between us should send the other one a sign. If I go first, what sign do you want me to send you?" Well, Jessma was a bit taken aback by the serious turn of the conversation, so in an attempt to lighten things up a bit, she turned to Peggy Ann and said, "Well, please don't send me any haints. No ghosts, thank you. I just think we should send each other our favorite flower. Mine's a pink camellia. You can send me that." And how shall I send it to you? Peggy Ann asked. Well, right at that moment, there was a scritching and a scratching down at the screen door. They both turned to look, and there sitting right behind the screen door was a black cat. This marvelously inky creature had the most unusual markings, for around its throat was a ring of white dots that gave it the appearance of wearing a string of pearls, which only added to its air of mystery and elegance. Seeing this little unexpected visitor, Jesma turned back to Peggy Ann and said, "You can send me my flower by a cat." Well, that was funny. So Peggy Ann and Jesma, they laughed, and Peggy Ann got up and fed the little stranger at the door, and they talked a little bit longer, and then they went to bed. A couple days later, Jesma left for home, having forgotten all about the conversation. Several months later, Peggy Ann, her emphysema began to really worsen. And even though she was only 47 years of age, it took her down very quickly. When news of her death reached Jesma, she was set to wrestling about whether or not she should go back to North Carolina for the funeral where she had just been, or remain at home. Eventually, she realized she did not want to see her sister lying in a coffin. She wanted to remember her the way she had been. She resolved to stay in California and just do her grieving there. A couple of weeks later, one morning, Jesma woke up full of dreams of Peggy Ann and so many thoughts about all the things they had planned to do one day. For instance, they had both said that they wanted to write the stories of their childhood growing up in the Depression on a tobacco farm and put it into a book. Jesma was going to do the writing, and Peggy Ann, a very talented artist, was going to do the illustrations. Now, all that would come to naught. But just after that thought, another one came in right behind it for Jesma. Well, you could do it. Jesma was mulling that over in her mind as she got up, as she did every day, went into the living room to open the drapes at the sliding glass door and let in that California sunshine. And as she did so, something caught her eye down on the outdoor green carpeting on the porch. She looked down, and there was a flower. She unlocked and opened the door, and she picked the blossom up, mulled it over in her hands, and it was the most beautiful and perfect pink camellia. Jesma said, "Well, now, how did that get there?" And coming up with nothing, absolutely nothing, she took the blossom, went back into the kitchen, got down a crystal bowl from the cabinets, put water in it, sit it on the counter, and put the pink camellia in the bowl of water, and then went about her day. The next morning, she was leaving out of the front door for reasons that in years later, telling it, she couldn't remember why. But when she opened the front door, there, right down on the welcome mat, was another perfectly formed, beautiful pink camellia. Jesma reached down, picked up the blossom, and this time she said out loud to no one in particular, "Who's sending me flowers?" And coming up with absolutely nothing, she took that blossom, went back into the kitchen, placed it in the bowl next to the first one, and went on about her day. For the next 5 days, single and sometimes double blossoms appeared at either her front or her back door, sometimes both during the day. On the fifth day, Jesma was leaving for a doctor's appointment. She opened the front door, went out, locked it, opened the garage, got into the car, and as she was adjusting her rearview mirror, she saw the strangest sight. There, coming down the middle of the black tar road, was her white cat, Snow, with something in its mouth. Jesma leapt out of the car and called the cat over. Here, Snow! Here, Snow! Come here! And the kitty came trotting up. Jesma reached down and pulled from its mouth another perfect and beautiful pink camellia. That's when the gears began to turn in her head, and she thought, wait a minute, what was it that we said about a son? If one of us dies first, we send the other a son. What should it be? Send flowers. Mine's a pink camellia. How shall I send it? I will send it by a cat. Now Jesma knew where the flowers were coming from. Peggy was sending them. This filled her heart full of such gratitude. Peggy is still seeing me. We still love each other. She sent me a sign. She's happy. And that was the last time that Jesma received a pink camellia. Now, I ask you, does love survive death? Is it ever strong enough to punch a hole between the living and the dead, to send a message of hope and love to those left behind? Well, to Jesma Hazel Smith Gibson, my mother-in-law, to all her children and their grandchildren, some of whom have heard this story since it happened in 1975, the resounding answer is yes. But Jesma tells it best. She said, you know, over the years since that happened, I would go from nursery to nursery in California trying to find a pink camellia bush with blossoms as beautiful as the ones that came to me. But I could never find one that beautiful. Now I know why. Because mine were designed just for me by my beloved sister.
The Story Arc is a production of Food for Thought Audio. This episode was written, produced, and edited by me, Kenny Mears. We'd like to thank today's storyteller, Elizabeth Atkinson Gibson, for sharing her story. Elizabeth is a member of the Utah Storytelling Guild and a professional storyteller. You can find more information on her website, thetellerist.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, or wherever you listen to podcasts for more content. And until next time, thanks for listening.